Okay, Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, and if you're born again, you're risen with Christ. The word says. In Romans 8, it says that you're justified, glorified, risen with Christ. It says it many places. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You're out planting flowers or cooking a meal or mowing the lawn or whatever you're doing, hammering nails. You can be in a spiritual place. And it's glorious. He can teach you things even from the common everyday things. And if you'll set your mind on Him, He will do that for you. So that you can have joy on your job. You can have joy at your school. You can have joy in your home or wherever you are driving the car. You can have the joy of the Lord. You can be in heavenly places. A lot of times, I just start speaking the word. I don't feel anything. I don't see what I'm speaking. Everything may look bad. Everything may look totally like it's falling apart. And I'll just begin to speak His word out. And in no time, in just a few minutes, you just start feeling the joy of the Lord, and you start feeling a spirit of thankfulness and gratefulness, and then that builds up your faith. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That word affection in the Greek is, and I don't know if I'll pronounce this correctly, forgive me if I don't, but it's phroneo or phroneo. Pronoun. It's good to study out what these words mean because I believe it gives us a greater understanding. Sometimes, you know, the King James Version, and I love it. I love the language of the King James Version, but it was written a long time ago, and a lot of times the words have changed meaning. You know, a lot, we think affection, well, you may have an affection toward ice cream, but it means more than that. And here's what it means in the Greek. To exercise the mind. Boy, I that is so good. This chapter right here will tell us how to live. We're in Colossians chapter 3. It'll tell us how to live. It'll tell you what to do. And on down there, it'll tell you what not to do. To live a victorious life. If you'll meditate on the Word every day, you'll begin to live more victoriously. Just greater and greater day by day. You'll have some trials too. But if you'll keep on meditating in the Word, be diligent at it, you'll overcome every one of them. He always causes us to triumph. When the enemy comes against you, or you have any kind of trial or problem coming against you, it is not for you only. Remember this, it is for the entire body of Christ. He's coming against the Word, but it is for the whole body of Christ when you overcome. If one member suffers, they all suffer. That's the Word of God. That means it's true. Don't think it's not. Don't hide in your little corner and just feel sorry for yourself and think you know, because if you are suffering, the whole body is suffering. So you need to gird yourself up and encourage yourself in the Lord and strengthen yourself and say, this is not just for me. It's for my whole family. It's for the whole body of Christ. It's for the whole body and the whole world. God's vision is big. And we forget that God is so big. And He has a plan and a vision for the entire world. And what you do counts in that vision. If you are not fulfilling your particular, and that's why I have ministered to you so many times, the Lord has beseeched you, which means beg. He has begged you through me to seek Him to find out what your part is. What your place is. You have a job in the kingdom of God. Every single person does. And if you are not fulfilling your job, and it's important. It may not seem important to some people. It may not seem important to you. I consider it important if I pick up a piece of paper off the carpet. God sees that. I'm not leaving it to someone else. And He sees that. Some people have to do more than their part because the others are not doing their part. But God sees every little thing. And if you'll be faithful in those little things, He'll promote you to greater things. But even when he does, don't think that you're above the little things, because he'll call on you. He's got a right to call on you at any time for anything. For anything. Because we're not our own. We have no rights. We have no rights. And we get so caught up in our own rights and our own thoughts. And sometimes we ought to just ask ourselves, well, why does it matter what I think about it anyway? It doesn't. And if you'll think like that, then God will use you more and more. But it's so important for you to seek the Lord, to find out what your place is in His plan. Because if you, one person, one little you, if you do not fulfill your part, then people will go to hell because of it. Because there are people that only you can minister to. Only you. No one else. And it's so important that we find out what our part is and do it and be faithful at it. It's so important. Thank you, Jesus, for that word. And I just want to encourage you to please continue to seek the Lord daily to find out, you know, what does He want you to do? What is your part in the body? And He'll answer. If you seek Him diligently, you will find Him. Let me go on to the word affection. To exercise the mind. Boy, that takes a diligent effort. Exercising our mind. Because that's where the battle is, in the mind. But you have to use this mind to get to the spiritual mind. Because if you let this mind run away with you, if you don't take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and how can you do that if you don't know the Word? You have to know the Word. If you labor to put the Word in you, then when a thought comes against you, you can say, maybe it disturbs you or makes you worry or makes you anxious, you can say, now wait a minute. Is this from God? And if you've got enough of the Word in you, if you don't, get in there and see what it is. But if you've got enough of it in you, immediately the Spirit of God will rise up and say, that's not God. So you can take that thought captive and dismiss it. Say, this is not from God. And you just start thinking the opposite. And you just start speaking the opposite. It means to entertain in your mind. Or have a sentiment or opinion in your mind. See, affection is not just you whether you like something, you know, or not. To be mentally disposed, it all has to do with the mind. We think of affection as something having to do with, you know, the emotions. That's what the way we think of affection. But it has to do with the mind. An exercise of the mind and of your will to agree with the Word of God. Earnestly in a certain direction. Earnestly thinking in a certain direction. Earnestly. Set your affection. Earnestly go in that direction. You have to make a diligent effort. To interest oneself in. Look at what you're interested in on a daily basis. Right now you may be interested in what I'm saying. But what are you interested in tomorrow? What were you interested in yesterday? Were you seeking the plan of the Lord for your life? Take a checkup on yourself and do something about it. With concern. To interest oneself in with concern or obedience. I'll tell you that one verse has so much in it. With concern or obedience. To be like. Oh, that's good. To be like. You know, in Peter, it says that we have His divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Partakers of His divine nature. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Being conformed to His image. That's the whole thing. Right there. Hallelujah. For ye are dead. Verse 3. For ye are dead. Ye are dead. How can a dead person have their own thoughts? They can't. How can a dead person have their own desires? They can't. And it says, reckon yourselves dead. Consider yourself dead. You got to keep doing it. Paul said, I die daily. You've got to keep doing it diligently, daily, reckoning yourself dead. Because if you don't, those dead thoughts will try to be resurrected by the power of the flesh, by the lust and the desires of the flesh. It'll resurrect that old man and the old thoughts. But you reckon yourself dead. How does a dead person handle temptation? They don't. There is no temptation to a dead person. So when you have a temptation, you reckon yourself dead. And if you keep reckoning yourself dead, you're like canceling that out. And it has no hold on you. You're voiding it out so that it won't have any effect on you. You're putting it aside and you're putting on Christ. And being like Him and being in agreement with Him. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? People say, I'm walking with the Lord. But if you're not thinking, speaking in agreement with His Word, you're not walking with Him. You know, that doesn't just mean walking down the street with somebody. You can walk down the street and have an argument with them. But it means to be in agreement. We're to be in agreement. That doesn't matter what we think about it. It doesn't matter what we feel about it. So that's why it's important to stay in the Word and consider yourself dead. You consider yourself dead, you'll esteem your brother higher than yourself. You'll put somebody over you. For ye are dead. Oh, I love it. It's a fact. Statement of fact. If you believe it as such, it'll work like that for you. But it is a statement of fact. But you have to agree with Him. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, that's good. You can use that a lot. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, if you're dead, you don't have a life. He's everything. You want to be like Him, do like Him, walk like Him, talk like Him, think like Him. Oh, it's so good to think like Him. You know, your own thoughts are like small. Sometimes you have your own thoughts give you confusion and depression and grief and trouble and you can't figure things out and on and on and on, all negative things. That's what your own thoughts will get you. But if you consider yourself hid in Him and His life, you're in Him. So His life is yours. His thoughts become yours. His mind becomes yours. And His love becomes yours. When you need to exercise it towards someone, you can have it. You can do it. You can do it. You can walk in forgiveness. You can walk in love. You can walk in faith. You can have just as much faith as anybody on the face of the earth. It's just as much for any one of us as it is for anyone else. His blood is great enough for every person. And as we talked about last week, there are more than 5 billion. There's 6 billion people on the earth around, and there are more than 5 billion of them going to hell. And to God, that's unacceptable. So we must grow on up in Christ. So the world can see Him. They've seen enough of humanness. There's enough of that everywhere. We know that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him. What? In glory. In glory. His glory is yours. Oh, in John 17, he said, it's His will for you to walk in His glory. And I know people that have walked in it for long periods of time. I don't know all the people on the earth. I don't know all the Christians. There may be some that walk in it all the time. That's what we strive for. But I tell you, it's glorious. When you walk in that glory, you really don't care about yourself. You are just willing to lay down your life and do anything that the Lord would have you do at any time. That's where He wants us to stay all the time. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify. If your right arm offends you, cut it off. That doesn't mean literally. You mortify your members. What's causing you the trouble? Cut it off. And reckon it cut off. Reckon it circumcised. Reckon it dead. Reckon it gone. And leave it in the grave. fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, wanting things you shouldn't want, evil concupiscence. That is sensual appetite or desire, concupiscence. Sensual appetite or desire. That is not just talking about in a sexual way, if I may be so bold as to use that word. But sensual, it means of the senses. That means when your eyes see something and you're just desiring that thing, get it under control. When your ears hear something that's not godly, and until you're renewed in your mind, and it troubles me about the young people these days because of the music and all the stuff that they have coming against them, the forces of evil that's coming. I mean, Satan is really after the young people. And we need to teach the young people how to exercise faith, how to walk in power. They are to walk in power too. It's for them too. And how to take account of what their ears hear and how to turn it off and what their eyes see. Whatever your senses desire. And covetousness, which is idolatry. These things are idolatry. If you're wanting anything more than you want the Lord, you're in the sin of idolatry. And you can repent and get right. And ask the Lord, oh Lord, give me a hunger and thirst for you. You have to ask Him for it. Your flesh doesn't want the Lord. You have to ask for it. It's all His doing. He draws people to Himself, and then He's the one that cleans them up. He's the author and the finisher. But you have to ask. You have to ask. Give me a heart for you. You can't just expect Him to just give you things if you don't ask. He said, you have not because you ask not. You must do the asking. You know, we do have a part. We're not puppets. And our part is asking and seeking and knocking. We're not going to get through this whole chapter. I encourage you to study this chapter this week because it'll show you how to live. And it'll show you how not to live. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked, past tense, walked sometime when ye lived in them. And if you're still living in them, there's one of two things wrong. Either you're not saved, you're not truly saved, or you're just walking in disobedience. If you're not saved, you may not be miserable when you're walking in them. But if you're saved, you'll be miserable. There may be a little season of pleasure. Pleasure and sin for a season. But boy, once that season's over, there comes the payment, the wages of your sin. The wages of sin is death. But thank God we have an open door of repentance. As long as you're breathing, then you can run to the Lord. Anybody. Now ye also put off all these. That sounds like He's talking to us. He didn't say He'd do it for us. He said we have to do that. We have to put off these things. Consider them dead. Reckon them dead. Put them off. And put on the mind of Christ. Put on Christ. Anger. Wrath. Some people have a problem with anger. Some people have a problem with frustration. Some people have a problem with worry, anxiety. Some people have a problem with fear. Sometimes you might not know that fear is your problem. But if you're hesitant about doing the things of the Lord or going on with God, it could be fear. There are many different things that you know what your own problems are with. So if you'll meditate on these scriptures and determine yourself to put them off, the Lord will help you. The Holy Spirit is your helper. He will help you put them off if you determine yourself, Lord, I want to. I want to be willing. I want to be willing to put on the mind of Christ. I want to be willing to put off these things. Even though your flesh might be crying out for those things and calling you and drawing you back to those things. But your heart can say, Lord, I want to be willing. Help me. And He will. If you'll use the Word to give you strength. If you don't have the Word, the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to work with to give you the strength to overcome. You can't overcome without the Word. Put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And on we could say, and anything else that's not godly. Lie not to one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man. If you put off the old man, you won't lie. Or if you do, you'll repent. You won't want to lie. If a lie slips out of your mouth, you'll correct. I've corrected myself standing up here sometimes. The Holy Spirit, I'd say something, then I'd say, the Holy Spirit would say, no, that's not right. I'll correct myself right on the spot.
Amen.
You ought to do that when you're in conversation with someone, talking to them. If something slips out of your mouth that's not quite right, you say, well, I called such and such yesterday. Maybe it was the day before yesterday. Be quick to even little things like that. You say, well, it doesn't matter, you know, yesterday or the day before. Yes, it does. Because if you'll be faithful in those tiny little things, then it won't be hard when it comes to a big thing. Be faithful in the little bitty things. They're important. Integrity and honesty is important. It's important. It's important to try to be patient with people. Try to be nice to people when you don't feel like it. It's important to bite your tongue and hold your temper. Those little things are important. All the little things. It's important to give your part, whether it be a nickel, if that's your 10%. If all you took in was 50 cents, you give your nickel. That's important. God sees every little thing. Don't think He doesn't. He's a big enough God. He doesn't just look at the big things. You know, sometimes people feel guilty when they go to the Lord with a little thing. Maybe they're, what's a small thing? Maybe the hem came out of your slip and it's hanging beneath your skirt. Okay, that's a small thing. Maybe your shoestring broke on your shoe. That's a small thing. God is big enough. He sees all the little things. And little things are important to Him. If you're not faithful in the little, in the very little, He can't trust you with more and more. If you're not faithful to pick up that little piece of paper when you see it, or to be careful to put things, you know, where they go and things like that, whatever it is. Let the Holy Spirit constantly deal with you and work with you and convict you. And don't think it's your own self. And don't think it's silly. Because that's the way He starts, is little things. Little things. If your boss at work likes things a certain way, and you should be quick to find out how he likes things, he or she, how they like things to be. You should be faithful. You should prove yourself over and above the other people, even if they're mean to you. Even if they're doing you wrong, God sees that too, but He's looking for your attitude. He's looking for your reaction in it. And good always overcomes evil. And if you will be faithful, just keep on doing good. Keep on being good to that person that's being mean to you. God will eventually either change that person's heart or remove them away from you. One or the other. Or remove you away from them and put you in a better position. But, you know, sometimes you keep praying about a certain thing. Lord, give me a better job. I just can't stand this job anymore. It's not enough for my family. And you keep praying and praying and praying, and you don't understand why God doesn't answer. Maybe He's waiting to do something in you and to develop your character and your attitude in the situation, whether it be a job, a relationship, or anything else. Anything. He cares about the little things. All right, I was going to go through verse 17. I hope you all will study this afternoon and this week. Let me just go ahead through verse 10 because... Okay, verse 9 again, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. And that's what we've been talking about the whole time. Which is renewed in knowledge. You can't put on the new man if you don't have knowledge. Knowledge of God. Knowing God through His Word. You can't know God but through His Word. Because you can't know someone if you don't know how they think about things. Then you may be acquainted with them. You may, you know. Our brother here is new. I don't know what he thinks about things. I don't know how he feels about things. So I'm acquainted with him. I know his name is David, I believe. But I don't know him. To know someone, you have to know what they think about it. How they would probably answer in a situation. What they would probably do in a situation. And you can't know that without knowing this Word. You've got to know this Word to know God. And you'll be so blessed when you do. And to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge by the renewing of your mind. Setting your affection, your mind, your direction, your desire. After... Oh, this is good. After the image of Him that created him. After his image, that's the whole thing in a nutshell. I tell you, this chapter right here is really, I mean, you can take so many chapters and say the same thing about it, but this is the one the Lord has given me for today. This chapter will tell you how to be like Christ, how to live like Him and be conformed to His image and be renewed in your mind and take on His divine nature. You don't have the old nature anymore. Reckon it dead. Reckon it dead. It's got to start in little things. That's how it works. Because that's how your old nature worked, was in the little things. It was the little things that got you in trouble in the first place. From day one. And it's going to be the little things that get you out, if you'll be faithful and diligent in the little things. And I encourage you, I really encourage you, to seek the Lord to find out where your place is in the body. And remember, it's not just for you. It is for the whole body. He has a plan for you specifically, no matter who you are. He has a plan. And it's a good plan, but you have to seek Him to find out what it is and to walk in that glorious plan. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord.